Welcome. This is the UX Design Cast podcast series, and my name is Carl Vredenberg. This is episode number 9, and I am on location for this episode at Ryerson University in Toronto, Canada. And I'm with Valerie Fox, who's the Director of Innovative Technology Solutions. Welcome, Val.
Hi, Carl.
Okay, well, let's get started, and I'd love to know more about the university, a little bit more about, you know, what that title really means in terms of what you do here.
Basically, I was asked to come to Ryerson to kind of look at the organization as a whole, and how do we enable the organization to work better towards the goals that they have, and they have pretty lofty goals. They truly want to expand Ryerson and make it more meaningful for students and give them all those better things that are going on actually in the world. In order to do that, you have to change how the organization works. So if you look at the organization, you see that it's quite siloed. It's very used to doing things one thing at a time, so it's very tactical as opposed to strategic. So I was brought in to look at things more as a holistic perspective, to bring people in to talk to one another, to use technology to enable it. And I guess that's where the title comes from.
Oh, excellent. Interesting introduction. Now, you're also, as I know, in the past, basically a designer by trade, and now sort of get the feeling that you're now, you know, designing a university as opposed to designing products. I'd love to know more about what that transition is like and sort of what things that you might, you know, bring from your designer role in terms of the kind of work you do today.
The easiest way of saying it is that as a designer, I come to design from a usability perspective. Everything's about the user. And so at the university, that's what I'm doing too. And I think that that hasn't been done before. So to look at things from the student perspective, to look at things from the staff perspective and what that means, what the impacts are for the students. And then to look even at the faculty, to see the impacts of the faculty on the students and the staff on the faculty is all of that kind of thing. And that's where design comes in, because when you're looking at how you can relate things to individuals, you have to step back and take that user perspective. Now, what's design all about in here? It's kind of funny because I miss the creative, hands-on creative stuff that I used to do, because I used to help, you know, design web experiences and actually any kind of digital experience. But in the end, it's the same thing. It's how people relate to one another. Sometimes it's using technologies or user interfaces, but at the very bottom part of all of this, if you really look at it, strip it all away, it's how people relate to one another.
Well, fascinating perspective on how you apply design to a new role that, as I understand it, is made up. You are a unique individual in this organization, probably in universities in general. And you you apply your design discipline to sort of changing this whole place, and as you say, to improve the experiences of people to people, and faculty to students, and students to each other, and the like. With that kind of a role, where do you start, and how do you actually go about carrying out that kind of role in a place like this?
Yeah, such a great question, because it was interesting when I came in. I really didn't know where to start. I should say that in my background, not only as a designer, I'm also a coach. So I took professional coaching, I got my practicum, and that's actually served very well in this, because again, it's about how people relate to one another. Where do you start? The very first thing I did was listen to people a lot. I met with people all day long, all through the week, and try to get a feel for how people are thinking, where they're coming from, how they're relating with other people, and what is it that they want to be able to accomplish. So you really have to understand what the vision is. What was great was Sheldon Levy is the president of Ryerson, and he has a fabulous vision and very clear vision. And it's because of that very clear vision, when I did talk to people, people knew kind of where they needed to go, and they just didn't exactly know how they could get there. And I think what they didn't realize at the time was that they could utilize all the people that were around them to enable them to make that leap, to enable that vision that Sheldon has and for the university. But now, you know, like I've been here for 2 years and I'm seeing it. It's happening. I'm watching people open up to the idea that, wow, if I collaborate with somebody, it makes it so much easier to get to where I wanted to go. That those skills were the ones that I was missing, for instance, and that made it so much a much richer experience for other people. And also people are starting to understand that everything they do impacts everybody else. That's another big thing that's going on here. Did I answer your question?
Mm-hmm. Yeah, in fact, you also mentioned the overall vision the university has, and also its president that's sort of setting this direction and this vision. How does that impact, maybe it's a little bit about what that vision is, because my understanding of this place is that, you know, it's transformed an amazing rate. It's one of the fastest, you know, growing universities, I think, and also just is considered to be really cool and kind of a really interesting place to go. I wonder if you could talk a little about what the vision is, what and how that maps into some of the work that you do in your sort of design and sort of consultation, sort of enablement of that vision.
It's described in four pieces, and the first piece is probably the very most important, and that has to do with student experience. Student engagement, it's retention of students, but also what is that experience, and how can we give them the very richest experience possible in the whole learning experience? And that's number one and very key. Ryerson is also up and coming in the research end of things. To be honest, wasn't their focus for the longest time. Now it is. And so we're really putting a lot of attention in research. And what does that mean? What does that mean in terms of its relationship, the researchers' relationship to one another in the university, but more importantly, to the outside world? So we're trying to establish relationships with other universities, with business, with world leaders. It's all of that kind of stuff and bringing that into the university. So it makes the university really matter because what they're doing really matters. Another aspect is reputation. So reputation, you know, we're building up from a point where Ryerson, it's a fairly small university. We have fabulous universities in Ontario, and it's been thought of, it's well thought of. I mean, people think about, you know, if you go to Ryerson, you probably will be able to get a job because it's kind of, it works towards that. On the academic side, I think Ryerson wants to tell the world, too, that, you know what, we're very strong on the academic side, too. However, it's applied. You'll be able to use your education from an academic side, but apply it to what you truly want to do. And I think that that's part of the reputation that Ryerson is trying to build.
So you also described a little about, you have talked to me before about the ways in which you enable those kinds of aspects of that vision through some of the work that you do in terms of facilitation of bringing groups that are maybe siloed together, and those skills sort of came from, as you mentioned earlier, I mean, you were the creative director before of a group of designers. You have skills that you're applying now to, you know, facilitating that kind of discussion to have a common vision moving forward and the like. You also talked about some systems that you're building, so there's even the design side of that, but also organizational sort of design. I wonder if you could just give us some idea of what kinds of techniques you're finding now that you're using that also come from your background in terms of the experience that you had in these other roles as a more straightforward designer.
But basically what I was finding was, how do you get people to work together? You put them in the room. And when I first got here, what I did was, because I had listened to people and they would assume that someone else was thinking a certain thing, and it just wasn't happening that way. They hadn't really heard or actually asked the question that needed to be asked. So basically, I put people in a room and said, okay, let's look at what the students are going through right now based on all of the things that you're doing. What was so fabulous within the first two meetings or so was that everybody loosened up because they went, oh my God, our poor students, what are we putting them through? We have redundancies, we have things that aren't clear. How can we work together as a team to make that happen? It was a beautiful thing when I started to see that happen. Now it's the norm, and I'm really pleased to say that. And but what was missing, and this is within the last year, we have a fabulous person we hired, Stephen Hawkins, who used to be the CIO at Chardon, who's now here. And he says, and he's the one who said, Val, this is all very well and good, but you know what, we need the technology to support this. And so we've been talking very much, the two of us, about student service support. This is all about supporting students. What is it that they need to get them through their Ryerson year, to give them everything that they could possibly have, so when they leave Ryerson, they're fully equipped to get on with the world. So we're looking at different things that we need to put in. One thing we do know is that we need to have some kind of CRM type tool, so we can capture the types of problems that they might have and mitigate them and get them out the door and track them, so we can see where we need to put our energies. I think that's fabulous, and we're working towards doing that. We're also looking at call centers and things like that. So I mean, some universities are way ahead of us on this. It's just, you know, we have to build ourselves up. But I think the clear message here is that we need to have these types of tools to enable the university to grow. That's the bottom line here.
Now, students are also coming here with a very different sort of experience themselves. They have iPods, they have cell phones, they have a whole bunch of technology of themselves. They have an expectation on design that continues to evolve and get stronger in terms of expectations and the like. What kinds of trends are you seeing in the ways in which students may be different in coming to a university like this, and how the university needs to change and adopt to the ways in which those students are used to dealing with their technology today?
Yeah, I mean, again, a great question, because you're looking at two facets. One facet are the students, themselves, and how they look at things. And then you have the faculty on how they look at things. Because, one more. There's the staff, because that's the support mechanisms. In a university, in an organization, you do things in a certain way. And here are the students who are now being brought up with technologies that a number of staff or faculty haven't. The new faculty come in, and their expectations are as high as the students with technology. The ones who haven't, you know, have been here a long time, maybe not so much. So there's going to be a transition that happens. One thing is very, very clear, that students now are learning differently. Their expectations are different, and they're using technology like crazy. But they also use it in ways that are unexpected. One thing that we saw right from the get-go is email. They don't use email like a number of, I'll even say myself as a professional, you know, I use email in a certain way. Well, students aren't seeming to use that. They do quick text messaging and that kind of stuff, and we've been hearing this. And I actually didn't believe it. Can I tell you that? But it's true. It's very true. It's that quick burst of message, and then it's it. And for some reason they can retain it. Okay, I'm old. I don't retain things like that. But they don't need the records. For some reason, that's a different way of approaching things. As far as collaboration, it's a given. It's not one of those things that you say, well, we're going to collaborate now. Well, no, that's the absolute norm. Mm-hmm. So, so that's very surprising. Also, how people learn. Those assignments that might be individual, those are harder for students because they truly are in a collaborative environment. Mm-hmm. They're used to, whether it's on the computer or in social environments, they need to talk, and that's how they reason. I can't say all, but I can certainly say a lot of students are like that. So how do we accommodate students? Well, one of the things that we're looking at, so I look at it from a business process perspective of how we get students in, how they choose their courses and get all that stuff. We're looking at self-service. So the more self-service that we can offer students, the better for them. Mm-hmm. If they need to talk to us, yes, you know what? It's very important that we also have the one-on-one contact with them, but it's allowing space to do that. More self-service enables the space to have that one-on-one contact. So I think that's very important. And then on the other side of the coin, we're exploring all different ways of how students learn now. So, for instance, we're putting up a brand new learning center for students, and that should be up in the next couple of years or so. And so we're looking at how do students learn? What are the types of environments that we need to create? What are the technologies that we need to support students? What are they really looking for? What are we going to do with all of the information, the knowledge that's there? How are we going to manage it or enable it to be managed so that they can get at what they need in the various ways that they need to get it? So it's fascinating. It's huge. It's so big. I can't believe it.
No, it does sound rather extensive. I also wanted to get back to you as a designer, having done a variety of roles over your career, we have people listening to this podcast that are, you know, beginning designers, I mean, or people that are considering design as a discipline, that are still in school. Other people are, you know, in school now. Other people are in the beginning parts of their careers, and I'd like to ask people like yourself who have, you know, extensive experience in a variety of different roles about what kinds of skills in your experience are most valuable, what things are kind of surprising that maybe, you know, people don't think about when they're in school, and they think that, you know, well, you just need to take this course and then you're done, right? What kinds of things from your experience are really fundamental to success in a variety of design careers?
You know, I think what most surprised me, because I just never expected to be where I'm at today, is how much people have everything to do with success. So meaning understanding people, understanding human interaction, understanding human feelings, emotions, and all that kind of stuff, and how much that impacts your design. So when you're designing, it's how people will react to it, what you would like to see happen, and how flexible it is to see that, you know what, if the unexpected happens, that's fabulous too, and allowing for almost, well, I was going to say total flexibility. No, I actually think it needs to be framed so that there's some directiveness to it, but it's being malleable, I guess, is the key ingredient, mm-hmm. and doing it because you know that people are affected by it. It's always knowing that there's impacts on people. So if it was to say, what is it that I think was the most valuable in my learning so far? Truly, it was the relationships that I made with my clients, with my fellow designers, with all the different disciplines that are involved in a design, because it's everything. I think, I guess that's why it's so complicated, but so much fun too, because it is so multifaceted. And mm-hmm. keeping that in mind, that design itself is one part of the experience, and it truly is by listening to all the other facets, of understanding them, and being aware of them, it makes your design strong and mm-hmm. makes it really work to what you want.
Mm-hmm. That's probably something that most students wouldn't be thinking of, because they think that they need to be doing design and the actual creation of design, the importance of actually working with others, as you say, to understand who it is that you're designing this stuff for, to be able to work collaboratively with others and other disciplines, to be able to come up with a design that actually, in the way that it's going to be instantiated, is critically important. And it sounds to me, from your career progression, that in fact it's that collaboration piece that you were so good at, you actually translated into, you know, this job, you know, as well, in terms of the working with and melding and coordinating and collaborating with people all the way around the university to really create the university that is in line with that vision that you described as well. Are there other things outside of the notion of the designer role or things that we were just talking about, in a general sense of how to keep up with, you know, technology, how to I thought it was interesting that you said, you know, what you had learned thus far, which is reinforcing this notion of continuous, you know, learning and further developing yourself on a regular basis. Again, people that are very successful in their careers often take that perspective of constantly, you know, learning. Is there anything else you'd like to describe in terms of the approach that you take to being sort of effective in your role as a designer over time, and what kinds of things you do to further hone, you know, those skills and keep up with the latest developments, that kind of stuff?
Well, it probably won't surprise you to say it's networking like crazy. Just keeping in touch with all my designer colleagues, my colleagues who are in human factors, my colleagues who are in coaching and technologies and developers and all those people, and just friends as well, because it's just seeing how people are getting on in the world, what they're using, what are the latest tools that they're using, what's their latest experiences, what are their kids doing, mm-hmm. how are they working together, where's the world going? Mm-hmm. I know it sounds so silly, but because everything's changing so rapidly, and focuses are changing, certainly the focus of where the world's going. It used for a long time, and I'm sorry to hear say this, but it, you know, it's the buck. The buck is what's driving everything. Well, you know, now we're hearing a little bit of a rebellion based on, you know, our environment or whatever, and people are going, oh, you know, the buck doesn't necessarily rule. You know, we as a people, we better watch out. Mm-hmm. We better start taking care of each other and ourselves. Mm-hmm. And as flaky as that sounds, it actually is what's helping me move on as I go on and learn. Yeah, I'm in learning mode, and I don't think it's ever going to stop because we have to enable other people and all of that stuff. Sorry, I just went totally off on a tangent, but I truly believe as a designer, it's all of that. It's mm-hmm. it's really keeping an eye on how people feel about things, I guess, is the mm-hmm. bottom line.
Now, you've been more than gracious with your time, and I just have one last question, and it's probably not even a question. I want to turn it around. I've been asking all the questions and been directing what kinds of things we cover. Is there anything else that I may not have asked about that you'd like to cover, given that we've got largely an audience of people that are interested in user experience and design type topics? Anything else that you want to add at this point?
Well, you started to talk about, you know, what are the other facets? You know, designer, I go... It's interesting because I had a conversation with a number of faculty members about, you know, people choose a subject and they go really deep into that. But a lot of times, it's the influences that make you better at what you do. Mm-hmm. And I was just... I guess it's just about keeping your mind open to enable your craft, to enable your passion, that it's good to keep yourself open to multiple things because it all influences what you do.
Mm-hmm. Excellent advice. And I thank you very much, Val, for this interview. It's the first that is outside of the confines of using Skype and talking to people remotely over the internet for these. So this one's in person. And I very much enjoyed this one. I'd like to thank you for being on the podcast. And that's it for this session. I'd like to encourage you all to provide feedback on these sessions using ratings and comments that are in on the Podbean site. That's at karlvredenburg.podbean.com. You can also send me any messages you'd like or any feedback you'd like or any suggestions for future episodes to karlvredenburg@gmail.com. And that is then the end of this session, and we'll talk to you all next time. Bye for now.